cliffcentral.com.
All right. It's DNC with Cake by the Ocean. So Telstra is a massive company. They're taking part in the CEO sleepout, among other things, which is one of the reasons we want to talk to Tom Creamer. I'll tell you how you can get involved in a short while. It's, in fact, next week that we're doing the CEO sleepout. So if you can join us, if you could be a part of that, I think it's the week after, the 28th. And we'll be telling you how you can join up as well. But Telstra is a massive company. They've got auto in general. They've got budget insurance, Dial Direct, First for Women, Hippo, Versicherd. Have I left out any of these, Tom?
Gareth, yeah. One Life. One Life Direct.
One Life, yep. Okay. And you've also got, you've got financial services. You've got health insurance. You've got long-term, short-term. I mean, this is a massive business to run.
Yep. It's a complex business, multi-brand strategy in the marketplace, looking to talk to different segments that are available in the market. And yeah, we've had some really fantastic growth over a number of years. Competition's hot in the marketplace.
See, I've heard that Google AdWords cost more for an insurance business than anything else.
Absolutely. Google is the place to be.
Right. That's the place you guys are advertising more than anywhere
for
else,
sure.
Right? And you get massive referrals and new fines over there?
Upwards of 50% of our new business volumes nowadays come from internet activity.
That's incredible.
Internet advertising, etc.
So insurance always used to have a bit of an uphill battle in South Africa because it was a grudge purchase and people didn't love it, and I can understand that. And we'll talk in a moment. I know you've got to go to a board meeting at 8, so we can't keep you for too long. You've got important shit to do. But the point is that insurance is one of those things people go, oh no, I have to pay my insurance. But then they're always really grateful when their house burns down or they get something stolen from them, and oh, thank goodness I had insurance. How did we manage to get to the point where more and more people in South Africa have started to realize it's an important thing to have insurance, and that it's good to make sure that you prepare for those rainy days by making sure that you've got personal life insurance policies, vehicles, houses, even items like laptops and that kind of thing, and then health insurance, all that kind of thing too. Where did we cross that line where the majority of South Africans started to realize this is a big deal?
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet, to be honest, Gareth.
What percentage of the population is insured?
Let me give you an idea. So of the vehicles that are on the road, there's estimated around about 8.5-9 million vehicles on the road, of which only about 3.3 million are insured.
Oh God. So that's bad news, right?
So it's a real challenge. And I think that talks to potentially to pricing, that people find insurance to be pretty expensive. It also talks to perhaps more in the way of education required to make sure people understand the importance of taking out insurance. What we've tried to do is, you mentioned earlier, Hippo, our online aggregator. We've got the same sort of business in the UK.
You can compare prices of various different insurance companies and find the one that works for you.
Correct. So that helps in a way to deconstruct a little bit of the complexity that goes on with insurance when you're comparing products. You can see excesses all lined up against each other, and you can see the actual pricing of the products and what you get on those products quite simply.
Do you have to have just huge armies of actuaries who figure out how to insure things, what kinds of rates you could charge, what kind of returns you'll get, what sort of damages people are going to try and institute in terms of claims, and they just sit there, massive computers in their heads, just churning out numbers?
That's it. You know, that's the name of the game. It's those inches when you're in a very competitive market.
Sure.
And to give you an idea, we've our budget in that space has gone from about 20-odd million 2 years ago to 70 million.
To get the best
people.
That
we invest in getting the best actuaries and talent to work for us. Big data, you've probably heard the buzzwords around big data. Using structured and unstructured data to try and understand better the risks that you're taking on board.
But that's quite a cool thing about being in insurance these days, is that you have so much available information. Before, you would have had to do expensive research. Now, you could track cars, you can track cell phones, you can track people's behavior and habits.
Absolutely. So, and that all goes to private pricing in a sense, you know, because you don't want to be grouped with a people that you don't recognize as being the same risk profile as you. You drive differently. You spend maybe time on the road when there's less traffic than the next guy. You should be risk rated.
Let's not talk about my driving. I think I'm insured by budget, and I don't want you to have to increase my premiums when you find out how badly I drive. The fact is, though, that there are also a lot of people who take chances. And for many years, insurance fraud was like most people's part-time business. Mm. And they thought they could get away with it. Mm. And these days, it's also much, much easier to catch those people because you could track their equipment, their vehicles, and all the rest.
Correct.
So you could see whether they're lying or not. Mm. You say to a guy, he comes into you and says, oh, my phone was stolen. And you go, no, hang on. This IMEI number says that you've still got your phone.
Correct. Look.
What do you do with people like that? Put them in jail?
Yeah, look, insurance fraud is still a huge problem. The fact of the matter is, the ticket to the game nowadays in the insurance space is you've got to be giving incredibly good service to your customers, and you've got to be pricing really keenly. Unfortunately, you do need to try and eke out or identify the fraud that that may exist, and that's only a small proportion of the total customers.
Mm.
So what we've tried to do is quickly identify claims that we would call fast track. Premiums paid, got the cover, some background checks, and immediately look to settle those sort of customers. And then you have other customers that you may recognize, there may be flags, and you would maybe look a little bit deeper into those sort of claims. So there's a lot of information you can take in the background to help.
So Tom, what kind of bizarre and ridiculous things have you had to deal with? Because I'm sure as the CEO, you don't actually see a lot of this stuff. You're busy with you know, the board level decisions and that kind of thing. But you must have had people come up to you from various departments in all of these different businesses and say to you, you will not believe what some guy tried to pull a fast one on us.
We had a recent one where one of our assessors went out to a customer's home and arrived sort of in the afternoon, knocked on the door. Young boy answered the phone, said, I'm here to see your dad about the claim that you had of all your TVs, etc., that have been stolen. Young boy looked at him and said, no, the TVs are not stolen. They're up in the ceiling. They've been put in the loft.
Yeah, you see, this is the kind of thing that people try and get away with it.
There was another one where
it would be nice if you had armies of kids to employ because they would never be able to lie to you.
Exactly.
So you'd know the truth straight away.
Exactly. There was another one where the claim to begin with seemed a little bit suspect, and the assessor went out to the home and eventually discovered that all the home contents items had been put in a hollowed out pool and covered with a canvas. So you do have those sort of claims happening. It's more the exception than the rule, to be perfectly honest.
And usually these people get caught out, so it's not worth trying any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But what are the interesting new areas that insurance is moving into? I mean, I spoke to someone yesterday who's involved in pet insurance. Mm. And obviously animal health insurance, and people are involved in, for example, you have these people who have very expensive bicycles.
Correct.
I mean, you never used to have a bicycle that would cost more than a couple of hundred bucks. Now you've got these bikes that are worth 200,000-300,000 rand.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's becoming a...
And cyclists, we know, are liars from their doping. So you've got to be really careful in that game, right?
Yeah, I'm a mountain biker myself, so we stay out of that. Bikes are becoming big business. And there's devices now that you can get to put on bikes to track them. Cyber crime products, protecting individuals from having their reputation damaged online or fraud created against them online. There's those sort of products that have been developed. You're getting pay-as-you-drive products that are being quickly and rapidly developed.
Do you ever have celebrities have their breasts insured and that kind of thing?
That's not a market that we focus on, Gary.
That does happen in America, right? Yeah. I've heard that Jennifer Lopez's legs, for example, are insured for a certain amount of money. That technically you could do that.
You absolutely can do that. Absolutely.
There won't be huge take-up in our market.
Sure.
There might be a gap.
Yeah.
Like you could have Blesser insurance.
Blesser insurance, I've been reading about that. And
Blessee insurance.
Recently.
I mean, that would be something I think a lot of relationships could benefit from.
You could well do. We'll give that to our product people to start working on.
Get cracking. I'll only take 5% for the idea. Yeah. But it is an incredibly interesting game. And usually when people talk about insurance, they kind of think, oh, well, it's boring and it's number crunching. But it seems to me like you guys have got a very exciting office there. You've got this huge, big office that you just built. Telesure's built really on what Doe Stain started with Auto in general, right?
Correct. Yeah, so I think in time, Doe will be recognized as one of South Africa's greatest entrepreneurs. Mm. Started the business out of South Africa, was very brave, launched into the UK. To be honest, in the early days, we got a bloody nose in the UK. But we've built an incredible business in the UK market now, operating in France and the Netherlands as well. We're pretty close to looking at listing our online aggregator in the UK, compare the market. We also have an operation in Turkey. We're in Australia. We're now in Singapore.
Turkey? Yep. Were you a little bit worried a couple of days
ago? Exactly. I phoned my colleague on Saturday morning and him and his family were both exhausted and worried. And
did they freeze all your accounts?
No. Everything was good. Ironically, he's thinking about coming back to South Africa. And, you know, when you think that we have a crime problem in our country, you know, it's kind of reflective of how scary it could be elsewhere in the world when people want to come back.
Put everything into perspective.
Our founding shareholder was a visionary in many respects. And although he's not directly involved in the business anymore, it's taken its own momentum. We have a very significant operation across the world now.
Mabali wants to know why women have different insurance rates to men. Well, I know you do, right, Mabs?
Yep. So this often becomes a little heated, but
go ahead.
Women statistically are significantly better risks than what men are.
Say it again.
Yeah, absolutely. See? And when they're involved in accidents, their damage is always significantly lower than that of a man.
Because guys are driving faster, stupider, bigger cars.
Bit more road rage on the go.
Testosterone.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah. And what we developed with First for Women, beyond just pricing more effectively for women, was the First for Women Trust, Gareth. And
yes.
Not sure if you're aware of that, but we've given upwards of 45 million rand to women's related causes, specifically in the anti-abuse of woman arena.
Right.
And in cervical cancer space.
Right.
So women who have insurance with First for Women contribute towards a fund, and that trust is administered to support women's causes. So
that's terrific.
I guess that's tying into being more relevant than just buying an insurance product.
And that way you don't have to have men complaining, oh, well, you're helping people with cervical cancer, but you're not helping people with testicular cancer, because they're not paying the premiums there anyway.
Exactly.
So shut up.
Exactly.
Now, Tom, you're taking part in the CEO Sleepout, which means that on the bridge in Nelson Mandela Bridge in Johannesburg, for I think it's the 28th of this month, all going to be heading out there to do the CEO Sleepout. Mm. Obviously, the plight of homeless people is part of this. We're supporting a bunch of other really, really good charities. Lots of people getting involved there. We are supporting here the CEO Sympathy Sleepout. Mm. So we're excited about this. But who did you challenge as part of your...
Well, I'm challenging the CEOs of insurers in South Africa.
Which ones?
I was advised by our PR people not to specifically challenge an individual insurer.
Let's see if they pick it up.
Nick Kohler from Hollard would be one of them.
Right.
But I would say he should get out of his warm office and onto the bridge if he isn't already.
Yeah, stop being so warm and comfortable.
Yeah, and perhaps even Willem Roos, if he's listening, he should.
Who's he with?
He's Archerance.
Okay,
should get out there.
Willem,
and,
get out of there
onto the bridge as well. So I think a challenge to them.
Good for you.
Certainly see. Let's see if they stack up.
Let's see, because your cardboard box better be slightly more comfortable than this since you've been in longer.
Exactly.
Now, this is a good cause. It's obviously something that you guys are involved in. I mean, it's Mandela Day was yesterday. There's a lot of good work that goes on in South Africa. Do you feel that from an insurance point of view, because you guys also are a sort of barometer on how the country's doing, you know, when the country's not in a good place, there's more theft, there's more damage to property. There's all kinds of stuff that happens that has to do with the stability of a country, which insurance companies come into. What's the barometer reading at the moment? Are you feeling optimistic and positive that we're on the right track in South Africa, or are you concerned?
If I was perfectly frank with you, I think we remain concerned about the economy and the stagnant nature of the economy. That's not necessarily good for insurance. People don't have disposable income. the kind of fight right now is to try and hold on to customers and try and encourage them to keep their products when they get under financial pressure. So it's concerning.
And do you have people cutting insurance loose as one of their expenses?
Yeah, absolutely.
And taking a chance that that they're going to end up in a lot more trouble if, for example, their car breaks down or they're in an accident or something goes wrong at home?
Very definitely so. So because it's a grudge purchase, people see that it's one of those costs that they'd like to cut out. What we try and do is encourage the customer to pare down the product. So, you know, maybe takes elements off that may not necessarily be required for their specific needs.
Help people to figure it out.
Sure, exactly.
Well, I know you've got to run to a board meeting. Mm. I said it'd keep you till 8 o'clock. It's exactly 8 o'clock. So look at how professional I am.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth.
And Tom, have an excellent day.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
No, it's great to meet you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And we'll see you on the bridge.
Yeah, we'll see you on the bridge.
Awesome stuff. Tom Creamer from Telishow. He's the CEO of Telishow. There's a huge range of companies and brands that are under that. I saw just that list: Auto & General, Budget, Dial Direct, First for Women, Hippo for Circuit, and a bunch of others too. So if you want to know more, you can always head over to telishow.co.za. And an interesting business to be in South Africa right now. Also an interesting place for us to discuss some of the things on a macro level that are happening in our country, because insurance does tell you a lot about what's going on in people's lives. Cliffcentral.com, 8 o'clock. We will be back in a moment or two with more news, more discussions, more of your calls. 0861-555-189. I think I sang this pretty well, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Did your throat hurt after your recording?
Even I can't go that high.
Sure. So I've just stumbled on a hashtag. You know Twitter. Twitter Mara. Twitter's a bastard.
What's the hashtag?
Famous Melania Trump quotes. So people are taking anything and everything that has ever been said by somebody else and including it in this hashtag. So for example, don't blame it on the sunshine, don't blame it on the moonlight, don't blame it on the good times, blame it on the boogie. Famous Melania Trump quotes. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Say it loud, say it proud. Or what? Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Hashtag famous Melania Trump quote.
Oh, that's beautiful. Our people are so good. You got to admit this is fantastic, right? Indeed. Listen to this. This is quite interesting.
Let's be supportive of our governments. Let's be supportive of the president. And write well. He has been tarnished in your press a lot. What for?
You recognize the voice?
He is your leader. Please write well about it. You can tarnish me, I don't care. But you must have the national spirit, national consciousness.
Doesn't that sound to you really desperate? Like you must write beautiful things about your leaders. Doesn't that sound like what dictators say?
Yep.
Because it is a dictator saying it. Here's a man whose country is falling to pieces. There is not a human being on earth who can say that Zimbabwe is anything but an unmitigated failure right now. It is a disaster. There are more Zimbabweans living outside of Zimbabwe than in. Think about that for a second. If you're in Zimbabwe right now, you will do anything you can to get out. We've got a Zim Conversations show here on cliffcentral.com. KF and Kamu, you must listen to this show. They will talk about what's really going on in Zimbabwe and what's really going on outside of Zimbabwe. We have Zimbabweans who are highly educated in South Africa, who are willing to be domestic workers, willing to work in gardens, willing to do hard labor, willing to do whatever they can to earn a few rands because there is no hope at home. And here you've got a guy saying, write nice things about your presidents. Say nice things about your leaders. Be respectful. Have some national spirit. And by the way, he sounds like the crypt keeper. I've never heard him sounding so weak and feeble and old.
Let's be supportive of our governments. Let's be supportive of the president.
He sounds like he might pass out at any moment, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he? I've never heard someone sound so old.
Well, I mean, he's 90.
And writes well.
Write well.
He has been tarnished in your press a lot. What for? He is your leader. Please write well about. You can tarnish me, I don't care. But you must have the national spirit, national consciousness. We are South Africans, we can't demolish our president. No, we work together. Some of our own journalists don't understand back home what is national unity. You may differ politically, but when it comes to national positions, you work together. You work together. And if you want us to support you, Bafana Bafana, we will support you.
Bafana Bafana.
And you become a Bafana Bafana politically.
Jesus, that's patronizing. I mean, that's so patronizing. Here he is. He even brings our crappy soccer team into the mix. Like, he thinks that's the way to placate the stupid masses in South Africa. You know, that's what he's thinking. This guy has zero credibility. And thank you, Mr. Mugabe. We would rather take lessons from a dictator who's successful than a dictator who's a loser. You are a dictator and you're a loser. You've got the double whammy of ineffectiveness right there on your plate in front of you. And if you can't look in the mirror, then we will. We've seen in our leader huge deficiencies, and there isn't any doubt that what's going on in South African politics at the moment is a decline in the power of President Zuma. By the way, did you see what's happened at the AU?
No.
They made a African passport.
No. They've said they need Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma to finish her work there before she starts taking up any office in South Africa, which could mean an opening up in the battle within the ANC. To all kinds of new parties.
A plot thickens.
Isn't it interesting?
Please, Gareth, like rules are ever going to be followed.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of talk going on at the moment, and that talk does lead to action. Whether it leads to action or inaction, something's going to happen. And this is news for Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. She may have to do a little more in Addis Ababa and a little less in South Africa.
Oh, we must get Justice to comment on this.
Luckily for us, Justice is here on Thursday to talk about this very thing. All right, Ben has got something to tell us. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we're talking about really sort of good-looking women sleeping with really horrible, ugly rich men earlier.
Yes.
Well, a former model has divorced a Saudi billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ka-ching. But it's not just that. She thinks that he's worth $8 billion, right? So she's made some demands kind of appropriate to what she thinks he's worth. He's obviously flatly said, look, I'm not worth that much money. Obviously, when they were courting, he said he was worth that much money, but now they're divorcing, he says otherwise. She wants £55 million for a new home in London.
Oh.
Yeah, she just wants something to have her own. You know,
just get wants a little just, nest. Yeah. Just a little tiny little place.
A little nest.
Yeah, nothing
on top
big.
Of that, she wants a £4.4 million just country home, you know, just in case that home gets sure. too stressful or too cluttered. She wants just over £1 million a year. Notice all this is pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She wants just about £1 million a year just for a clothing budget. You know, because
sure.
those couture dresses and all that kind of, it costs money.
Right.
She's going to have staff, lots and lots of staff. She needs to pay very well. Over £300,000 just on staff for the year. And then she needs an additional £100,000 to maintain her home, just the one home. She needs another £100,000 for food and drink. You know, she obviously needs to eat well, drink well.
I'm trying to add up this bill. Do you do a total at the end of it for us?
Gareth, it's in the vicinity of $100 million. Yeah. But
that's what she needs just to set herself up.
Kind of, yeah. She needs almost $500,000 just to rent a yacht for a couple of months, a couple of weeks throughout the year. And, of course, she needs to tip the crew as well. So that'll be an extra £5,000. She needs, £250,000 for a Paris holiday. You know, this is particular presidential suite at the Ritz that she really likes. And then she needs a nanny's room on top of that. She needs... just for £100,000 for a 12-night stay in the south of France, you know, because she can't stay in this £55 million house all year.
No, it's terribly boring.
Yeah, she has to move around.
Yeah, you need to have options.
She needs about £100,000 on beauty treatments because she obviously might want to attract another husband to Felice at some stage. So it's important that she keeps her looks. She needs about 2 luxury handbags a year. That'll be about £58,000.
Who doesn't?
But then she also needs 6 casual handbags, Gareth, because the luxury ones, that's not the same.
Listen,
so
we're
£23,000 for 6 casual handbags.
We are talking about expensive handbags, you know?
Yeah.
100,000 rand Vuitton bag.
Yeah. They cost more than people's cars.
So with her casual and her luxuries, she also needs 10 clutch handbags. And this is all year, right? So these ones are not going to be useful next year.
Yeah.
So that's an extra 35,000. She needs £26,000 for a mobile phone. Now,
how many phones?
I'm quite tech savvy. Can you tell me of a phone out there, even if it's a diamond encrusted platinum case satellite phone?
How much did you say?
£26,000 is what she wants for a mobile phone.
Okay, that's 494,000 rand
for a phone, which of course next year she'll need another one.
So call it 500,000 rand. What phone do you know that's worth 500,000 rand? Flax, do you have any idea? You're the boss of luxury goods around here.
You get these jewel-encrusted, non-hackable phones. I think there's like 5 in the world. They're the most expensive phones in the world. Made out of platinum, this, platinum, that.
Jesus.
But in context, this woman is divorcing a Saudi billionaire.
Yeah.
So in context, this isn't a
she's
lot.
She's not asking
him.
A lot. She's actually, she's being skinflint. Actually, she's cheap as chips. She should be asking for just give me £1 billion and we're done.
Mm.
Right?
Well, she wants new luggage every year as well with all the travel. That's £15,000. She wants 2 watches every year and that'll be £40,000. Yeah, every year.
Because, you know, having a watch that lasts obviously is not for you.
And there's 4 bottles of face cream that she wants every year. That'll be £10,000 too. And then she wants 15 pairs of sunglasses every year. That'll cost just £4,000.
Wow.
So she's really, I mean, look, the numbers are, as Michael said, this is all relative. What I want to know is how she came up with all these things. It's like she's got a spreadsheet of her life. It's like, okay, well, what did I do in March? Oh, yeah, there was 12 sunglasses. I can't go without that again in life. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, she must have sat down and thought really long and hard about what she can ask for. But
what a thing to think about.
Here's an obvious question. Surely if you are a gazillionaire and you're a man and you know that women are after your money, surely you don't get married in community of property. Surely. Yes. Hello.
Yes, it's going to be. I mean, don't flatter yourself. She's not marrying you because you got all your wit and charm. She's marrying you because it's a bit of a transaction.
Yeah.
So put it in writing.
It's a business deal for her.
But well done, Christina Estrada. Looks like you're going to get something out of this.
And think of how much she had to put out for some fat, hairy, disgusting, unacceptably backward Saudi prince. Just imagine. You have to claim some serious cash for all of that inconvenience. I'm on her side.
You want to see what he looks like?
Get what you can, honey. Oh, he's disgusting. Oh, my God.
He actually looks like a younger Saudi version of Mick Jagger after a big night out.
Mm. Younger, you say? I say older.
No, he will be younger, but he looks older.
Revolting.
I wonder what the culture is with, like, the Saudi princes. Maybe, like, it's against the culture to do a prenup, like that's a break of trust or something.
Well, if you're stupid enough to let your culture dominate your prenup, good luck to you.
Well, that's not the only thing it dominates.
Hand it out, you idiot. Any guy, any girl, if you're the rich one and you don't sign a prenup, you should be fleeced. They should take half your money and you should not complain about it. I'm sorry. Anybody who gets married and goes, oh, but we love each other, we don't need a prenup, wait till the divorce comes. I'm going to laugh at you.
And then all of a sudden you hate each other. And it's not we love each other anymore.
Right. And then you bring the lawyers in. Sure. Anushka says, Ben, that woman must be shot with all those ridiculous demands. She's a disgrace to women. Go find a flippin' job. Where's your self-worth, you leech? No, well, you see, Anushka, I don't agree. This is her job.
Mm.
Her job is to parade her beautiful body around in front of dumb, lascivious, slobbering men, get them to do stupid things like marry her without a prenup, and then get what she can and get out as quickly as she can. Hopefully, he'll die of a heart attack somewhere in the marriage and she can get all of it. But if that doesn't happen, she'll get what she can. Get out. Ines says, There's all this Taylor Swift hoo-ha. I thought it was a story about something else. I'm not sure what Innes means there. Leanne says, there are no bad children, only bad parents. Shoving your TVs in the roof, really? We were talking to Tom Creamer, the CEO of Telesure, and he said that there was a kid that told the assessor, no, all the TVs that we said were stolen, they're in the roof. I'd love to know what that call that the insurance company made back to him was. Can you imagine that call? They're like, hi, something like this. Hello,
Hi, is that Mr. Pretorius?
Hello.
We just popped by to your house with our assessor.
Yeah, I know. Can you see all of our TVs that was stolen? From the one on the TV room, the one in the bedroom, the one in the bar, the one in the kitchen, the one in the garage. All over there's just TVs stolen. I'm going to make a claim for all of them. Is that all right?
Yes. Mr. Pretorius, we've got one little problem.
Yes?
When we came to your house, your son, Luit.
Yes?
He told us that the TVs are in the ceiling, so we got the ladder and we climbed up.
Oh, fuck. Beep, 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 beep.
Mr. Pretorius?
Beep, beep, beep.
Are you there, Mr. Pretorius?
Beep, beep, beep.
That call couldn't have gone very well.
Can you be charged, though, for trying to defraud
an insurance
company?
You can go to jail.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? It's like stealing. That's what it is. Unreal. Hey, quick look at what's going on the schedule today. We got Unbranded with Timothy Maurice. And why does sex still sell brands? How can you use sex to sell your brand, but in a modern and responsible way?
It's because people want sex.
You know, I have to say to you, if you haven't listened to Timothy Maurice's show, this is a very, very interesting show. He looks at how marketing and psychology and the way our brains work plays into how we behave. It's a fascinating show. He's done everything here from epigenetics to studying the differences between how men and women view advertising. It's such a smart show. It is not for, if you are stupid, please do not listen to Timothy Maurice's show. It'll blow your brains out. But if you think you're smart, or you might be, or you might want to learn things, and I don't mean that in some patronizing way, because it's taken me a long time to get my head around what the show is. Unbranded with Timothy Maurice. Is there a way to rise above the need to sell with sex as the front? And can using sex too much cause fatigue with your brand? In the cyber health feature, you'll learn how to check what your apps know about you and how to make the necessary changes on your phone.
Is there a way? Yes, there is.
Uh-huh.
But would your customers be interested? Probably not. We're very sexed up. Very sexed up.
Are you kidding? When I see advertising with a naked woman in it, I almost crash my car. That's if I'm driving. If I'm sitting at home in front of the internet and I'm trying to get work done and I'm on Google, and then before you know it, some pop-up ad comes up with some girl on it. Forget about it. I forgot what I was there to do. I go for about 5 or 6 seconds, and it takes me a while to reset my clocks. The good stuff with Brent Lindekew and Kerry Stein. All the news that really matters, focusing on the top 5 trending good news stories in the world. I know Brent was very cut up about Gugu Zulu, as were many of us. So you'll know that he's probably going to refer to that in his show too. They're going to talk to Reach for a Dream about Slip a Day and the Kellogg's Breakfast Campaign, plus the usual sympathy sleep out catch up. Then, sipping tea with Tumi Morake, dealing with some of the biggest topics of the modern day woman. From the plight of the single woman, how she navigates her way through a modern world, to the joys and challenges of being a married woman, and how her role has changed. You know it's always going to be fun. Sometimes Tumi goes on a rant. Sometimes she talks about the stuff that makes her cry. You never know what's going to happen on that show. That's Sipping Tea, 11 o'clock with Tumi Morake. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. The joys of reading today are in the spotlight. To talk about why reading is a big part of everybody's life and how it enhances your life, Gary will be joined by a well-known actress and bookworm, Chantal Stanfield, as well as being the executive chairman of Reader World, Sipho J. Mabaso, and Swahili journalist Kabelo Tshabalala. Then it's the Daily Maverick Show with Kingsley Kipuri and the team from 1 to 2, bringing you the biggest news stories from South Africa and the world at large, separating the real news from the propaganda and giving you expert commentary and analysis. Beyond Ears and Eyes with Shemaine and Liesl Tom. Have you heard this show, Mubs?
No.
It's pretty much our spirituality show.
Oh.
And it's doing stuff that nobody else is really doing. They talk about crystal healing, Reiki, numerology, the spiritual realm, whether or not there are ghosts, whether or not there are angels, people who have spirit guides. Pashina knows all about this show. She's heard it a couple of times. With Shemaine and Liesl, you've heard it, right?
They talk about angels. They also had someone who could diagnose you by looking at your eyes. There's a specific word for it. She just looks at your eyes and she can diagnose you medically or something like that. And they also had someone with the face, something to do with reading your face and also your hands, reading your palms.
Sometimes they burn shit here in the studio to start their seances.
It's just, it's all freaking weird beyond. It's beyond our realm of
that woman
imagination.
That woman who reads faces. She came into my office. I didn't even know what was going on. And she sat down in front of me and said, "You are this and you are that." I said to her, "Get out of my office. What are you smoking? What are you high?"
Oh, it's just beyond real.
This is actually the sound of Shemaine and Liesl chanting.
You're silly.
No. They're going to talk about healing the soul today. What is that? Is it possible? Is it necessary? Their guest is Vanessa Rothquill, and they will talk about all the things that nobody else is covering at the moment in the world of spirituality. And you know, here at Cliff Central, even if you're a cynic, you have to realize there's a space for everyone. I mean, we've got shows like that. We've got In Conference with Michael Jackson today. Are you stress rich and time poor? Come on, answer the question. Do you have a lot of stress? So you're rich with stress.
Yeah.
But you are poor with time.
Hmm.
Hmm? How do you feel? Or are you just poor, full stop?
Yeah.
That too.
Then join Michael Jackson today when they talk about what it means to be on top of your game, what the new digital detox is. He'll speak to behavioralist Joni Petty about behaviors and innovative thinking. Joni will give tangible hints and tips on how to find out what is lacking in your life as we know it today. Now, what's nice about that show is it's 15 minutes. So you download the podcasts and it's 15 minutes. You could listen to 10 of them on your way into work in the morning. I mean, that means you're stuck in traffic for a long ass time. But you know, for a lot of people, that's the reality. 360 Biz with Teboho Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala. Then Kelman on Cliff Central with Aria Kelman, the ladies round table. Tamarin Jardine will talk about being a new mommy. Yeah, she's just become a mommy. Congrats to her. Dave Greenway is the latest news about what gadgets you can look out for. And Sipiwe Petros will come in along with Weza Matumani in Take Charge for a Tuesday. The Renegade Report with Jonathan Witt and Roman Kabana is on this afternoon from 6. We put that podcast-only show out. Who did they speak to? Well, recovering ad man, Justin McCarthy. With election campaigning well underway, Justin will give his insights into the quality of marketing of each major political party, both past and present. They will explore the meaning and the lack of meaning in many voting slogans presented to the public worldwide. The discussion will also focus on the issues with regard to polling and market research and election outcomes, a process of which, you know, we seem very prone to getting it wrong in election polling. We say this is going to happen, then it doesn't happen. You've heard Justice talking about this too.
I'm just trying to think, do our political parties have slogans come election time?
Taglines. So
like,
it.
Make America Great Again.
I saw
Mansions for All, I think. That was one of the parties.
Because I don't think that we do that in this country. Do they have slogans?
I saw the stupidest poster on Rivonia Road the other day. I can't remember what it said. I'm going to just look up something quickly and I'll tell you whether. It made no sense at all. Like, building better communities together. Or something. Building better communities together. What the fuck does that mean? Can someone help me understand what that means? Accomplishing togetherness goals forever. what is that?
Doing good and things that aren't bad.
Yes. What does that mean?
Wait, didn't the ANC once have together we can do more?
Sorry, this is the one that I saw on the highway. Not the highway, on Rivonia Road here in Johannesburg. It said, advancing people's power together. Advance, just let's break that down. Advancing means to push forward. People's power. What in the hell is that? What is people's power?
It's the power
of people
that you and I and Ben have as people.
Well, shouldn't I have a say in that if you're going to claim that you're advancing my power? Advancing people's power together. What on earth? Who sat in a room and came up with that nonsense? And if you drive past that and you go, yes, that's for me, you need your head read. In fact, you shouldn't be in a car. You should be sitting next to the road selling pencils from a cup. Because that is the kind of slogan that means absolutely zero. If you fall for that, you'll fall for anything. Advancing people's power together. Have you ever heard such bullshit in your life? I mean, do me a favor.
This is bull crap.
Doesn't in the latest ANC posters where Jacob Zuma is like stargazing, doesn't it say a better life for all?
Well, that's always been the... And that's not a bad slogan. That I could feel people would warm to.
And it also says, together we move South Africa forward.
Who wouldn't want a better life for all, right?
Yeah.
Right, that sounds good. And what was the other one?
Together we move South Africa forward.
I would just like to see We Won't Steal. Yeah. How great would that be?
Imagine a poster that said, we won't steal, or we'll deliver the services we promised to. Service delivery. Just those two words. ANC, service delivery. Oh my God, would people be happy to read that? Or we won't steal. Or EFF, we won't steal.
We will listen to what the court says.
DA, follow the rules.
Yeah.
Follow the rules.
UDM.
Okay.
UDM, don't fuck with other people's stuff.
Do what for Freyesfront.
Freyesfront plus.
Monia Pusvius.
People would vote for that, I'm telling you. You want to know what Hillary Clinton's stupid slogan was?
I can't remember now.
Everyday Americans need a champion. I want to be that champion.
It's too long.
Did you realize?
It's too long, right?
That you are a champion.
Yeah. How lame. Ben Carson of the Republican Party. Heal, inspire, revive. That sounds like something that you'd see on the wall of some horrible house in Pretoria.
Or like when
heal, inspire, revive. You know those with those letters that are cut out in steel and people stick them to their walls?
Or that's something you would find on the wall of a spa.
Yeah.
You walk in, you're going to have a colonic and a massage.
I'm about to have my asshole washed out. Heal, inspire, revive.
A little bit of meditation.
Carly Fiorina, new possibilities, real leadership. What the hell does that mean?
But maybe we shouldn't be too critical. I imagine it's difficult coming up with these things without sounding like an idiot or without sounding cheesy.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah.
They're trying to get everybody, make everybody happy. That's where you end up with these platitudes that mean nothing. So Ted Cruz says, reigniting the promise of America.
What was the promise in the first place?
So, okay, what was the promise? Mm. It was the American dream, right? I suppose. So why do you need to reignite it? What did Barack Obama blow it out?
Of course he did.
Please, do me a favor.
I have here the first official slogan of the Libertarian Party.
Which is?
There ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah, that's also, that. At least that's sensible. No such thing as a free lunch, except nobody's going to like that. Because everybody wants a free lunch, so you have to promise people something that you can't deliver. Here's another one, Bernie Sanders. A political revolution is coming. Now that's powerful stuff, I suppose. Rand Paul, defeat the Washington machine, unleash the American dream. Mm. Mike Huckabee, from hope to higher ground. What does that mean?
Yeah, no.
What a lot of rubbish. That's such crap. Mike Huckabee, from hope to higher ground. Sounds like a Christian rock album title. From hope to higher ground with Jesus. Right? Do me a favor. Not a lot of crap. And what is Donald Trump? Make America great again. Make America great again. We haven't had enough greatness. We need tremendous amounts of greatness.
I'm rich. I'm really rich.
I'm really, really rich. Isn't that great?
Donald Trump is great.
I personify greatness. Vote for me, Donald Trump.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
His slogan should just be, defeat Crooked Hillary.
Yeah, or it's just
vote
me,
Trump.
Me or Crooked Hillary, vote Trump.
Yeah, me and Crooked Hillary. And then you should have a picture of him with his orange face and his horrible hair. And then her. And she must look crooked.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary, folks. Right. Exactly.
I was offended.
I was offended too. Right?
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
Right. That was Hillary's response in an Australian accent. Okay. Did you know? You know what the ANC slogan should be? Really? Truly?
Okay. We'll try harder?
No. This should be it.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. Quote Gwene Mantashe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vote ANC.
No, 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 no.
That's it.
Like, I just think...
Or maybe the ANC slogan should be, we promise to give...
800 and 700. Listen properly.
Yeah, listen properly.
769,820...
And
Cervant.
Jobs. If he did that, I mean, we'd vote for him, right? Right. Beautiful. All right, we're going to talk. I want to improve my Zulu. So Siyamasuku is going to help me to do that. Siyamasuku is an author and an illustrator based in Johannesburg. He's going to tell us all about how we can get into graphic novels, which is a part of what he does. He studied graphic design, and he is trying to help people to learn isiZulu and Xhosa and Ndebele and Sotho and Venda and Tswana and Tsonga and Swati and Ndebele. So choose one, because you can't have them all. But we may as well start somewhere. Let's get this dude in here. Maybe he can help us to start improving our Zulu. When I was a kid, I used to watch a show called Siyafunda. And Siyafunda was a TV show that was, I think, I can't remember who the host was, but this guy would welcome you and say, Sawubona. And you'd have to respond, because it would say on the TV screen, Yebo, Sawubona. Kunjani. And you'd go, Lungile. And then they'd take you into various things, and they teach you how to say certain things. And this was on primetime TV, and kids could learn to speak isiZulu. And it made sense. Because suddenly, it wasn't just black people speaking isiZulu, there were white people learning it too. I don't know how the show got past the apartheid regime, because I thought they were going to try and keep people separate. But somehow this got onto TV, and it had music and everything. And at the end of the show, he would close off the show by going, say it again. And you'd say what you'd learned in that episode. And then you'd have all these white kids going, minangi tipoti or whatever. And then he'd go, it sounds good. Keep practicing. And that would be the end of the show. And there would be music. And you'd watch it every day. And I loved that show. And since then, zero attempts at teaching anyone any language but what they already speak. So we're going to change that this morning. And he's here, Siyamasuku. And it's very nice to meet you, Sia. He's a graphic novelist. He is an illustrator and an author. And he is doing his bit in South Africa to let us start speaking each other's languages, which is terrific. Very nice to meet you. How are you, Sia? I didn't know whether you were here yet or not, because Flax told me that you were running a little bit late, but here you are. Look at you.
Yeah, made it.
How are you, my man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, likewise.
So let me hear your story quickly. You're an illustrator. Does this mean that you all the graphic novels that you've done, you have to draw every single one of those pictures yourself? I mean, illustrating, isn't it now mostly computer-generated stuff that people do? I mean, you're still drawing with a pen?
Well, There are various ways you can illustrate. For this instance, in the Siyafunda book, I used a process called lino cut.
Right.
And the printing is called lino printing.
So do you actually stencil out every single...
Exactly.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot of work, man.
Well,
beautiful pictures.
Thank you. So yeah, there are various ways. Some people use tablets to do their illustrations and all that sort of stuff.
For example, maps. Ujagalas. Mm. It's a jackal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ukozi is an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know this, but some of this
look,
is used.
Look, I'm so. I could do with some improvement and some help with my Sizulu, to be honest.
Inkwawu. Inkawu.
Inkawu.
Inkawu is a monkey. Baboon. Is it a monkey or a baboon?
You're obviously not looking at the pictures, eh, Gareth?
It's a baboon. It's a baboon, right?
It's a monkey.
Okay, sorry. Your copy. Let me see here. I saw one that I saw that I knew. Inja.
Yes.
Dog. A dog is inja. So, I mean, what's cool about this is that this is the best way for kids to learn. Not just for kids, adults even, to learn. When we've got pictures, it all makes sense. It imprints on your brain. You'll remember the word when you need it. This is tremendous. What got you interested in doing like Siyafunda guides in different languages?
Well, I would say Siyafunda was specifically targeted at teaching isiZulu.
Mm-hmm.
What got me into it was having a discussion with my mother, and she's a Zulu teacher in Soweto.
Yes.
And she was just speaking about the shortage of books at her school at MCNE Primary. So I figured it could be a good idea to create Siyafunda. And obviously, the pictures were the main theme because, children will look at pictures and remember them more than they do words, right? So that's where it all began. And with her help, Siyafunda came about.
This is terrific. Now, how come schools aren't buying your books up in tons and distributing them around? Because this is the kind of thing that I think kids could really use. It's got pictures. It's beautifully illustrated. It's also a language guide, effectively. At the back, you've got a little index so you can look stuff up. It's colorful. It's magnificent.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the schools should have these, right?
I believe so. I do see it being more effective as an extramural sort of learning activity,
mm-hmm.
or tool, as opposed to something that can be just slotted into some sort of school curriculum. I say that because it allows kids. I mean, I think it works better as well when kids can learn from home and obviously have their own way with the book instead of just reading it as a matter of passing an exam. You know, it's a book meant to have fun with. That's the point.
Can you get these books on Amazon?
No.
Okay, so where can we get them?
Okay, you can pre-order the book if you go to siyafundaonline.co.za.
All right.
The one big thing that's happening now, which I'm going to emphasize, we're running a crowdfunding campaign to get as many books printed as possible and get them to as many kids as possible.
All right, so let's do some lessons. Let's not mess around. Ben, I'm going to teach you what a spider is.
Okay.
Any ideas here, Mubs?
Sego.
That's in Sotho,
yes,
right?
Well, I told you, Kim Sotho.
Well, in Zulu, it's istabutabu. Huh?
That's right.
Istabutabu.
Can we not start with something a bit harder?
don't be like that, Ben.
All right, Ben. let's start with Gundwan. You know what a Gundwan is?
Gundwan, I had no idea.
Do you want to tell him?
Sure. It's a mouse.
A mouse is a gondwana.
It's a very strong name for a very small beast. That sounds awesome.
Okay, here, Ben, a sports-related one. Do you know what ihansi is?
That's when you're fixing cricket matches.
No. Ihansi is not to do with cricket matches being fixed. It's actually a...
It's a goose.
A goose is ihansi. All right.
I read this book.
I almost called it a duck.
Yeah,
now we're talking
I almost called
cricket,
it a duck
so
as well.
I just froze for a second.
Do you know what Ulinda is? It's not someone's name,
yeah.
Even though it is a name. Ulinda is a honey badger.
Oh, man, I was so close. I was going to say ostrich.
Ulinda doesn't care.
Yeah, Ben, just guess at this point. Just guess.
All right. Here's a good one. Umkoma. Umkoma.
That's a cow.
Umkoma. It's a whale.
A whale.
Okay, we'll try Flax. Clearly, I'm not doing
Flax,
so well.
Flax, do you want to try some?
Yeah, much better when we go from English to Zulu.
All right, Flax, what is a chicken?
A chicken?
Yeah.
Inyama yenkuku.
Nkuku is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Inyama nkuku is the meat of a chicken.
Oh, okay. Huh?
Nice try.
Am I right?
Yeah,
okay,
you're right.
Meat of a chicken.
That's right.
All right, what's a peacock?
Peacock.
And don't look it up.
I didn't know how to spell peacock, so it didn't work so well. Peacock is a peacock.
No.
Ipikoko.
Ipikoko. Yeah, we got it. Right, got it. Do you know what a shark is? Come on, this is not difficult.
Ushaka.
There we go. Is that Spongile helping you?
He's getting a bit
Who's
of
Who's helping you there?
Spongile.
Is it Spongile? Okay. All right, Spongile. How about this? What's a springbok? A springbok. Yeah.
Do you know what a springbok is?
Any ideas? Get closer to the microphone, Spongile. We can't hear you. It's unfair to actually ask Flax. I don't think he speaks anything.
I forgot.
That's actually not a springbok, Gareth.
What is it then?
I must correct
you. Impala. Uta impala.
No, not the impala.
Oh.
It's an orebi.
Orebi?
Yeah.
What's an orebi?
It's an antelope. It looks similar to a springbok, so I don't blame anyone.
That's a very confusing picture then. You shouldn't be using it.
It's a brilliant picture.
Inyoga.
It's a snake.
Yes, thank you. Very good. Spongile, while we're doing this, how about uzagamanzi?
Uzagamanzi.
Uzagamanzi. Come, what's
that? Is he pronouncing it wrong?
No, he said it right.
Uzagamanzi. Come on. Don't let the white man be teaching you Zulu. Come.
Uzegamanzi.
It's a dragonfly.
You've seen a dragonfly before, right?
I have, what but did you call no one ever told me what it was in Zulu.
Sure. Look, when making the book, actually, I actually had to learn some of the animals myself.
Ububibi. So. Ububibi.
This morning it doesn't know that one either.
That's like a mongoose or a what do they call those things?
Meerkat.
Meerkat.
Yeah.
We only know it's a meerkat and a mongoose. We don't know what it is.
I mean,
we
got to learn these things.
Get the book. Yeah.
I'll definitely get this.
It's a very good book. So you're doing these in other languages as well? You're going to do the...
Well, that's not the intention, to do it in other languages.
Oh, screw them. Yeah, I agree. Just keep it as Zulu.
Absolutely.
All right, so you've done the animals. So you're going to do different guides for different things?
Hey, if the need is there, and
the need is there, but I mean it's expensive to do this, right? Because you've got to do a lithograph effectively of every single one.
Exactly. I thought it would be easier to start with the animals and sort of give them a sort of human feature to them. Okay. Like you'll see a meerkat wearing goggles and all that stuff.
Very cool.
Just makes it more memorable. So when we start adding different infographs and all that stuff, so we got to start thinking how they're going to be portrayed for the kids.
All right. So again, tell us where we can get this book, because I think a lot of parents will want to get this for their kids.
Sure. Right now, if you go to www.siafundaonline.co.za.
Siafundaonline.co.za. Got you. All right.
You can pre-order the book.
Very good.
We're also running a massive crowdfunding campaign, so you can go to Thunderfund.
Thunderfund.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yes.
Sure. And just support the cause, you know, help crowdfund the book. We've got 3 days left for the campaign, and we are looking for some happy guy who's looking to learn Siafunda to just fund the whole project.
Sure. And then some rich dude who wants to speak Zulu better.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, good. I like it. All right, very, very good. Well, thank you for coming to see us, Sia.
Thank you for the platform.
It sounds good. Keep practicing. 100%. Right? There we go. Sia, did you ever watch that show?
No.
What show is that? Oh, my. It was called Siafunda. I'm telling you, please, someone help me, because I can't be the only one who saw this show.
Well, maybe Claudie can bring it back on, you know.
Please, Claudie, please bring it back. I would love to hear that song, that show again. And there was a song. There was a song associated with it. All right, thanks, Claudie. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you very much, Sia. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys.
And, very good. There we go. It's called Siafunda. And you can discover the names of all these various animals, among other things. He may bring out more books. He needs some crowdfunding, and we thought we'd give him a leg up here where we can as well. So if you're interested in this stuff, then you know where to go. Yeah. Last year, the CEO Sleepout was the biggest fundraising event in South Africa. This year, as a proud digital media partner for the Sympathy Sleepout, Cliff Central is challenging you to rally your colleagues in a company sleepout at your offices in support of the homeless and to raise money for education. It costs only 800 Rand to register. Visit cliffcentral.com for more info. That's right. As you know, cliffcentral.com is proud to be the digital media partner for the CEO Sympathy Sleepout in 2016. And remember, they raised more money last year than any other single charity. We're going to play our part in making this year bigger and better, and we want you to join us. So if you want to do this, it's 800 bucks to register. Become an official partner, and you and your team could be part of something powerful, moving, and uplifting. As a participant in the Sympathy Sleepout, you commit to contributing to change with non-monetary items for the charity of your choice. Visit the Sleepout, the CEO Sleepout ZA. Let me get that right. The CEO Sleepout ZA.co.za. And click on the Sympathy Sleepout tab. The CEO Sleepout ZA.co.za. Got it? Excellent. All right, we're just about done here, and then it is over to Timothy Maurice. But before we go, Flax has got some interesting info on anybody who wants to join Geordie Shore South Africa. Apparently, the Geordie Shore guys from the UK are heading out to South Africa. The producers of that show are going to be looking for talent to do a South African version. Oh my God, kill yourself now.
Hang on. Before Flex gives us this crucial information, didn't we already have a show like that in South Africa? It involved a whole bunch of Cape Townians, right?
Was it a thing?
Yeah, we had Clifton Shores. It was with Quentin van der Berg.
Yes, what happened? Did it go on TV?
It was just so scripted. You could tell it was scripted. It was just really bad. The concept was there, but they just didn't pull it off.
All right.
So then we had Jersey Shore, the original. Then it went to Geordie Shore, which was like the ratchet version of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, because Jersey Shore is not ratchet at all.
No, Jersey Shore is filth and disgusting and repulsive, and it's scraping the bottom of the barrel. But then Geordie Shore took us a level lower. They hit rock bottom and they just kept on digging.
So the guys that made Geordie Shore want to make Geordie Shore with South Africans.
Oh. What are they going to call it, Flex? Do we know?
We don't know what they're going to call it. I think they're still going to go with the name Geordie Shore.
Dirty, oily, greasy Shore.
About that? They're starting castings in Cape Town end of this month. And the pay is so good because what they're doing is they're not going to film it here. They're going to fly the boys and girls down to Miami.
Oh boy.
And you're going to film it in Miami. You are going to get paid 72,100 Rand a week.
Well, that sounds good.
With an additional 144,000 Rand when production concludes. That is a lot of money.
That's pretty damn good.
Just for taking steroids for six months.
Yeah, how many weeks do you have to be on the show?
I'm sure it's maybe a couple months.
So call it 72,000 Rand. Let's call it how many months?
Let's say a month of filming.
Okay, so that's let's call it 4.5 weeks. 4.5 weeks, 324,000 Rand.
And then add on 144.
In a month, that's a very good fee. And add 144,000, right?
Yeah, but how much do steroids cost? You got to put that as an offsetting expense.
We're looking at about 460,000 Rand for that month.
Steroids is your only expense. They pay for travel, for food.
So if we take 460,000 Rand and we minus, what are steroids? What do they cost you, Ben?
Don't know, Gareth. I just don't know.
We should ask those people in these body beautiful competitions. They would know.
I also don't even know how much steroids cost.
Let's say
1,000 Rand.
Let's say 10,000 Rand. Or let's say 15 grand in steroids.
For the girls, they will probably need some extensions.
Thins.
Hair extensions.
Yeah, they'll have to take those tablets that make you shit yourself.
They'll have to tan a lot.
Right.
Tanning. You've got to go in there orange and ripped.
Donald Trump and Deborah Patter orange.
And the girls will probably also want to stock up on brand new bikinis because it is Miami. Right.
Okay. New breasts.
All right, so let's take 50 grand off.
Okay.
Let's say 50,000 Rand for tanning and bikinis. And for the guys' jock straps or whatever else they need. Still, 399,000. Sure. I mean, that's
You're still making a profit.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then say they sign you for season two.
But then you'd probably have to do embarrassing shit on the show too. So
yeah.
The cost to your dignity is 500,000 rand, so you make a loss.
Well, oh yeah. But you know, it won't be difficult to get people to do stupid things because they'll just ply you with alcohol.
What do you need to qualify for this? You need to be good looking because they certainly aren't relying on you to be smart.
Do you want me to read the applicant requirements?
Go on, let's hear it.
That is so mean.
Go on.
Must be between 18 to 32 years of age.
Okay.
Sorry, how much?
18 to 32.
Okay, so we don't qualify.
That counts me the hell out.
Yeah, we don't qualify. We're too old.
Flex, you're in.
And Pashida can give it a go.
Must be comfortable with nudity. Do not worry. We'll be discussed further with correspondence.
Oh, okay. Nudity. All right, well, nudity. Yeah, sure.
Must be a legal SA resident to apply. To apply, applicants must respond to this casting with the following. First name,
that's
last
two
name.
Sentences, by the way, Flex, but it's okay.
Oh, sorry. Essay, never mind. First name, last name, nicknames.
Yeah. Okay.
Age, nicknames. Occupation, city, province, recent photos of yourself. Photos taken within the last 2 months.
They want to check you're not fat.
Yeah, you see, that's actually the most important criteria.
Please don't be fat.
You have to look like a model. You know, you've got to have like at least a 4-pack nyana if you're a guy. Mm-hmm. You can't have cellulite if you're the girls.
Do they have specific race quotas or is it open to all?
Open to all, but they do have questions you need to answer.
They've got to have some white, some black, some Indian, some coloreds, right? They have to. They mix it up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, these are Americans.
It's going to be broadcast here.
It's going to be filmed in Miami.
Yeah, filmed in Miami, but broadcast everywhere.
All
so
right.
The first question you have to answer is, describe the wildest weekend for yourself, mm-hmm. reality or imaginary?
All right.
The second question, where and how do you like to party? Vacation spots, festivals, bars, etc.?
Uh-huh.
Last question, why are you the best candidate for this reality program?
Wow. Do you know anyone who would be a good candidate for this, Flex? I'm sure among your friends, you'd know a couple of people who'd fit into this.
Mm. They got the parting down, but they don't have the build.
Oh, so you need to be...
You've got to be DAC for VAC.
All right, so you've got to be ripped if you're a guy, and you've got to be lean if you're a chick.
Mm, you've got to be patait.
This is like this is like 2 seconds after coming off matric VAC ripped.
All right, eh? Yes. And 10, bro.
Isat.
Got to be 10. What is the... What's the thing that they used to say in Jersey Shore? What when they asked what they did, tanning and laundry or something? What GTL?
Oh, a gym tan.
Gym tanning
GTL,
laundry.
Gym tan laundry. And the cabs are here.
Yeah, there we go. See, I do pay attention.
I don't understand laundry.
Don't worry, your brain will atrophy if I tell you. We have to bury you in a matchbox. Everything will shrink.
They'd have a certain day a month where they'd go to gym, and then straight after gym, they'd go tan, and then they'd do their laundry all in a row. Oh,
okay.
Yes. All right, well, let's see who we can recruit for this, huh? Ben, do you know anyone who could take part in this?
No, Gatherin.
Very quick to dissociate himself from this. Are you sure, Ben?
Yes, Gareth, I'm sure.
He wants nothing to do with this.
All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, join up for SA's version of Geordie Shore. What's it going to be called, Flex?
Something Josie, I'm sure.
All right, eh? Yes. I tell you, I saw a clock that yesterday in the gym because I went here to Santon. It was between meetings. There was a clock that in the gym. He was shouting across the place to another oak. Yo, man, bring the 26, man, or I need the 24.
Great. I hope they cast a guy like that for this show.
I hope he drops a fucking weight on his head. That's what I'd like. Yo. And by the way, Duncan Dean is saying on WeChat this morning, Flex, I got a Pikachu as my starting Pokemon. You just need to ignore your starting Pokemon by walking away. They will keep respawning. On the 4th respawn, you get a Pikachu.
Do you really want to go through life knowing that you hacked Pokemon to get a Pikachu instead of the satisfaction when you finally found the Pikachu? That is not the kind of life I want to live.
At least you have principles, Flex. I can't fault you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll end it all on that very optimistic note for humanity. Here's what you need to know. Donald J. Trump has fired back at critics who said that his wife Melania used parts of Michelle Obama's 2008 Democrat convention speech. Donald said She did no such thing. She was merely making up generic first lady nonsense. And the similarities were just coincidental, bound to happen, as women have very little to actually talk about. You can now get an African passport so you could travel freely on the continent. Mos Def is trying to get one because, unlike his world passport, it's actually a real thing. And finally, it looks like Russia is going to be completely banned from the Rio Olympics, with new and even more damning evidence surfacing about the state-run doping scheme. Russia may be out in the cold, participation-wise, for quite some time. Vladimir Putin is not fazed. He is already planning on hosting the doping games. He feels 2020 is a realistic date, as the rest of the world needs 4 years of drug-taking to catch up with the Russians. Have an excellent day. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. CliffCentral.com.